Monday, and we've got 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe in here to talk sports, recapping this weekend. Michael, how you doing on this Monday?
Doing well, Andy. That theme song never gets old, does it?
It really doesn't. It's so on point.
Very on point.
And it's loud, so it's got a lot going for it.
It's like sports.
Yeah. Yes, it's on point and loud.
Yeah.
Speaking of being on point and loud, let's talk about that UNC defense a little bit, because it felt good for the first time all year.
Yeah, I think the word that was sort of clanging around in my head after that game was just cathartic. It just felt like a release of tension from the defense. They had that players only meeting that they talked about last week, and I really think that helped with the communication. Gene Chizik said earlier today that the communication was just a lot better. They were just more consistent. It was four quarters of defensive football without a total disaster embedded in there somewhere. You hold the Hokies to 99 yards rushing, under 300 yards of total offense. Now, I get that it was suboptimal conditions for offense, and the Hokies don't have a very good offense. But we have seen Carolina give up a lot of yards to not very good offenses this season. So it just felt good. Not only that, but also to beat a program that had had Carolina's number. They had won five of the last six, and it seemed like they had won in different ways every time, that where Carolina would get very, very close, but then Virginia Tech would just rip it away from them right at the last second. So very feel-good win for Carolina.
Objectively speaking, they were controlling the game the whole time, and it was never in question.
Yeah.
But given the track record of the defense, at what point did you really start to feel comfortable?
I think around halftime you were thinking, well, this could get interesting, because the Hokies had had that touchdown drive right at the end of the second quarter. Carolina answered with a field goal, but it was still Virginia Tech was receiving the second half kickoff. So you're thinking, well, they have a momentum now. What's going to happen? But then Carolina comes out and forces, I think it was five straight punts to open the second half. So that's when you really, I think maybe around like the second or third punt, when you could really tell that Virginia Tech was not calling aggressive plays. They weren't going for it on fourth and ones, fourth and twos. You were thinking, okay, Carolina has, obviously they've broken them mentally. Something is not right with the Hokies offense right now. And it was just, if Carolina cannot mess up on offense, they'll be fine. And they didn't.
First stop in the fourth quarter for me, I was like, maybe the football gods are just going to make the fourth quarter like awful again.
Yeah.
But first stop in the fourth quarter, I was like, all right, this is actually happening. It's done. Also, how much of this was Carolina playing up to what we expected them to, and how much of it was that Virginia Tech's kind of bad?
Yeah, I think both things can be true at the same time. I think we shouldn't use Virginia Tech being bad to discredit another really good performance from the UNC offense and a good performance from the UNC defense. Like I said, they've given up points to bad offenses this season. We have seen it before. So, yes, Virginia Tech is not very good. I think that is safe to say. But I think we can also say that UNC just continues to put up a lot of points, continues to have one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC, if not the country, and continues to have a deep pass-catching core. And if they can just improve that defense a little bit, they can really be a formidable opponent.
I'm going to repeat something you just said nice and slow. UNC continues to have maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that he was plus 3,000 in Heisman odds. So just to have a UNC player in the discussion for the Heisman at this point in the season is unprecedented.
He's been incredible. I wasn't here for any of the Sam Howell era, but I'm like, could it have been this good? I know you say his freshman year was amazing. But
yeah.
Drake looks really good.
Yeah, I think this is not to discredit Sam Howell, but people were thrilled with Sam Howell because UNC was coming off 2 years of really bad quarterback play. And then Sam Howell comes along, throws for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, and people are like, oh, so that's what it looks like. And Sam Howell was also really good. Let's not say that he wasn't good, but I think Drake May has just taken it to another level so far. He's only started five games, so let's not count our chickens.
Speaking of which, what was it like in the stadium on the play where he went airborne? Because I can tell you that Jones Angel did not enjoy that play.
Yeah, all of us in the press box kind of caught our breath, because UNC was feeling pretty good about themselves at that point. They were in control of the game. They were likely going to win the game at that point. But then it's like, man, the one thing that could have gone wrong in this game is that Drake May hurts himself. And hurts himself on a play that he could have prevented by just stepping out of bounds. So we were all looking around like, is UNC going to win another game if Drake May can't go? But then, of course, he got up, jogged off, got the wind knocked out of him. So definitely hearts were in mouths all around Keenan Stadium.
Yeah, nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted to see that at all. All right, what else did we have from this weekend that you had your eye on?
Yeah, so the UNC field hockey team just kept doing what they're doing. They're 9-0 now, the only unbeaten team in Division I field hockey. And, of course, they are still number one in the coaches' poll. Their win over Liberty, it did break a five-game shutout streak that the team had going back to September 2nd, their game on October 2nd. So they hadn't allowed a goal in exactly a month before Liberty scored on them three times, but fortunately Carolina scored six times, so it's all good. They do have two more road games up in New England before they're home again. First is at Boston College. That's on October 7th at 4 p.m. Then they're at Connecticut the following Sunday. Two ranked teams, two challenging games. They've been on the road a lot this year. They have really challenged themselves. They've had two separate, they had a stint this season of playing, they're in the middle of that stint of playing six games and seven on the road. So that's definitely, I think, Karen Shelton preparing them for, hey, if you're going to win the national championship, you're going to have to do it in an unfamiliar environment. And it just so happens that the field hockey Final Four this year is being played on the campus of the University of Connecticut. So definitely some preparation going on there.
I don't know field hockey all that well, but it seems like we're seeing a generational talent in Aaron Mattson, right? Like, we may never see this again.
Yeah, I mean, winning three championships in 4 years and working on 4 and 5 is just not something that happens in modern-day collegiate athletics. I mean, you saw that with the women's soccer team back in the 1990s, early 2000s, 1980s as well. But that was when not a lot of teams played women's college soccer at the level UNC was. Obviously, now all other programs have caught up. And in field hockey, it's not like, you know, Carolina has won every national championship in history. It's gone back and forth. Carolina, before Aaron Mattson showed up, they hadn't won since 2009. So it really is, we have to appreciate what we're watching.
Yeah, it's probably worth making it out to a game or two at the end of this season, because this is it, right? There's no higher level of field hockey. So
yeah, this is her last year, and she will play for Team USA, but it'll be the last chance to see her in Carolina blue.
All right. What else have you got going on in sports right now?
Right. Well, yeah, tonight, men's soccer is playing tonight. They don't play on Mondays a lot, but that's because this match was rescheduled due to the hurricane. It was originally going to be played on Friday. It's a big game for the men's soccer team. It's a sort of a prove-it game against Clemson, defending national champions. Clemson beat Carolina in the second round of the last year's ACC tournament. Carolina's defense has actually been on point. They've only allowed two goals in their last five matches. Now, they only have two wins, a loss, and two ties in those five matches, but they're not playing ugly soccer, shall we say. If they can just find the back of the net a little more, I think they could be really, really good.
A win tonight makes the conversation about the rest of the season feel a lot different, too.
Absolutely. If you can beat a contender like Clemson, who began the year as number one, then you can say, well, why can't we just beat everyone else we play?
Exactly. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it is easier said than done, but the mentality is if you can beat the team that beat everyone else last year, then that opens up a lot of possibilities.
So we've got about a minute left. Anything else from the weekend or anything you're looking forward to this week?
I will say this isn't exactly UNC-centric, but there are a lot of college football games I'm looking forward to next weekend. Not just the UNC-Miami game, but Kansas is hosting College Game Day for the first time ever. They are 5-0. They're playing TCU. College football just feels like it's been very unpredictable this year, aside from a few teams. But Georgia, number one, almost lost this past weekend. So very unpredictable season. I've been loving every minute of it.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for coming in and talking sports with us. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Andy.
We got a lot more news on the Hill coming up. Stay tuned.